Well, there's another huge problem. We need to come up with a funding model that can provide the kind of support that these efforts need. It's grassroots, it's community. There's a lot of good work going on, and the sustainability and funding of that should really come front and center. The result of that conversation was Invest in Hope.
This is Lost in the Stacks.
The research lab. Oh, whoa. Sorry. It's like it came out of the water or something. Should I start again?
Yeah, do it.
Was that the AB button?
That was the AB button. I sprayed.
I still love you, Matthew. You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the research library rock and roll radio show. I am Charlie in the studio with Amit, Fred, Wendy, and Matthew. The gang is almost all here. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
That's right, Charlie. Today's show is called Invest in Open.
Is that a call to action?
Librarians tend to complain a lot about overstretched budgets and the amount of money we pay to acquire content for our user community.
But what if individual libraries took some of that money and used it to build tools for open sharing and curation?
And then, what if those libraries all got together and pooled that money to build an open infrastructure that all libraries and their users could benefit from?
I would like to point out to all of you that this is not yet a Christmas episode, and those are some really big optimistic what-ifs.
Well, Merry Christmas, Charlie, because it's not just hypothetical. Dr. Leslie Chan of the University of Toronto will be joining us to talk about this very thing, about the Invest in Open Infrastructure Initiative.
If you want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS446 for Lost in the Stacks episode 446. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or sustainability strategies with that hashtag.
And our songs today are about old systems, resisting the entrenched powers, and making the right choices. Libraries can choose to take control from publishers and into their own hands. That is, if we can all just get with the program. So let's kick off with a new program by the Useless Eaters right here on Lost in the Stacks.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and joining us today is Dr. Leslie Chan, Associate Professor in the Department of Arts, Culture, and Media in the Center for Critical Development Studies at the University of Toronto, Scarborough, where he serves as the Associate Director. He is also a member of the Steering Committee of the Invest in Open Infrastructure Initiative, and he's a longtime advocate of open access. And he's been on the show before. Dr. Chan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, Fred.
So last time you were on the show, which I think was back in May of 2018, you were on to talk about open access in the Global South. And we talked about things like the recognition that the transition to making research available openly was, you know, in some ways guided by the interests that were predominantly situated in North America, Western Europe, you know, those kinds of countries. And the conversation was about the fact of, you know, recognizing that open access is sort of a global initiative, and those other voices needed to be brought in. And and today we want to talk about the Invest in Open Infrastructure project, which I thought there was a, you know, you're on the steering committee for that project, but I thought there was a very natural correlation or connection, I should say, between the two, like. The Invest in Open Infrastructure Initiative kind of plays into that goal that you were talking about when you were talking about bringing, including the Global South into open access conversations. So can you, first of all, is that perception correct? And can you maybe talk a little bit about Invest in Open Infrastructure and how it relates to the global open access environment?
Okay, thanks for that question. I think, as you said, I think there's a as a natural connection, but that connection might not be as obvious as people might think. Because when we think about open access, we tend to think about sort of the products, final outputs of the research process, which is usually the journal articles or books or another different types of research artifacts. Mm-hmm. But the research process is obviously takes place well before that, and you know, from your initial conceptions to doing the research to gathering the data to formulating your papers and whatnot, and then of course finally the publication, and all these require different types of infrastructural support. That you need different tools, you need different social support system and know-how in order for that these kind of complicated process to take place from beginning to end. And so the Invest in Open infrastructure framework is really a good reminder that, well, open access, of course, is important, but to get to that, we also have to think about the preceding process. And so when we think about that, as you mentioned, from a global basis, we see not only there's a lot of inequality or asymmetry in terms of the final output, but in terms of the initial input as well. And again, that has to do with the fact that the infrastructure is also not distributed in, evenly around the world. And a lot of the infrastructure, in fact, are created in the global north. And when these are created, often they're not created with a global communities in mind, usually with more limited communities in mind. And so they tend to favor a certain way of doing things. And so this initiative allow us to think more broadly. How do researchers in other part of the world do research and communicate and share their research? And how could we create infrastructure together? And in fact, many of Global South communities have already infrastructures in place already, but they're different. And so how can we coordinate these different regional and infrastructures into really a truly global and inclusive set of infrastructures?
I think we need to take this opportunity to kind of talk about what we mean when we're saying open infrastructure. Because as you say, the products are, I think, are pretty well understood. You know, scientists write reports, they write journal articles. And when you say we want those open, you know, free from cost, you know, that's kind of an easy thing to understand. The infrastructure to get it there may not be as obvious for even for folks maybe not in the library world, but maybe even in the library world. So what do we mean when we talk about infrastructure?
So infrastructure is one of those very broad term that, you know, could mean many different things. And I think when we talk about infrastructure, generally we think about physical infrastructure and technical infrastructure. So from things like all the connectivity that are required for internet access, to storage, to high computing, high power computing, and different kind of digital tools. Those are all part of the infrastructure. And the one familiar to us in the libraries are things like repositories, open journal publishing platforms, and increasingly more book publishing platforms and open educational resource creation platforms and so forth. These are all part of the bigger set of infrastructures, but right now they're not connected in, often they're kind of in their own little places or fragmented. And so for them to become common infrastructures, we need to think about how we could better coordinate these different efforts, turn them into things that could be supporting a diversity of efforts or regional initiatives. So, and then on top of that, of course, there are the human know-how, the human support system. To me, that's also extremely important. So bringing all these different pieces together to set a kind of foundation for global scholarship and exchange.
Yeah, you mentioned the supporters, which brings to mind the question, who is signing up as a supporter of this initiative? Just like in the minute that we've got left, this is a global initiative, is it not?
Well, I mean, right now we have a representative from different continent, but I think we would like to see even more inclusive representation. Now, the people who are involved, they come from the library world, they come from independent technology organization, they come from universities, they come from publishing, and they're also people who works in thinking about financial side of how do you support something like that. So we have a variety of people that are involved in thinking about this framework at the moment, and we have called colleagues from Latin American countries and from various regions of the world. But right now, there's still, I would say, predominantly though North American and Europeans, still the large number of them.
We're speaking with Dr. Leslie Chan. He is a steering committee member of the Invest in Open Infrastructure Project, and we're going to be back with more after a music break.
File this set under HD69.D4G63.
You just heard The Harder They Come by Jimmy Cliff. Before that was Fallen by Connie Francis, and we started with Loss of Control by Van Halen. Songs about old systems of control breaking down.
Today's Lost in the Stacks is called Invest in Open, and we are talking to Leslie Chan, professor at the University of Toronto Scarborough and steering committee member of the Invest in Open Infrastructure Initiative. So, Dr. Chan, in the last segment, we kind of explained what the Invest in Open Infrastructure initiative is about and what it was, the issues that it was looking at. I think another big issue that we need to talk about is sustainability, because there is infrastructure in open access that is both, you know, open and, you know, commercial and proprietary. So I wanted to ask, you know, why is sustainability a crucial component of open access? Is openness equivalent to sustainability?
Well, sustainability, I think, may mean different things to different initiatives, but I think the way we look at sustainability is in a way related to how infrastructure projects are usually funded. We know that a lot of grant-funded projects are usually short-term. You know, you're lucky if you get a project funded for 3 years and then 5 years. But typically, when those projects are funded, when they're finished, they're basically left on their own to find other way to continue. And we find that in the technology sector, a lot of promising community-based development, infrastructure development, may be publicly funded, but to a point where they can need sustainable model, they end up being sold to a private sector or being bought up by a private sector because there are usually not other avenue for them to continue. And so this is part of what prompted us to think about the Invest in Open initiative. That is, how can we continue to support a lot of these different grassroots initiatives that want to remain open, but have challenges finding longer-term funding to have let them continue to develop and serve the community that they originally intended to serve? And again, I want to emphasize, it's not only financial sustainability, but also human capacity. Often on these projects, people are assigned certain certain labor at costs and so forth, but then they also run out after the projects come to term. And so thinking about a longer term way to continue with these initiatives in a collective way is part of the main reason for this initiative. You also mentioned the notion of other infrastructure. And I mentioned that many of these initiatives started out as open, independent initiative, but ended up being acquired by other commercial interests. And what we see in recent years is actually very aggressive integration and mergers of these kind of initiative and purchased by the big commercial publishers who have a lot of resources. So we're seeing the building of these end-to-end platform by company like Elsevier, like Digital Science, that they're able to create these very broad-based infrastructures that researchers or institution might like to use, but once they're in it, they find themselves pretty much locked into their system from beginning to end. So the notion of open infrastructures is, in this sense, very important, so that the users have options in terms of, well, what they want to use and when they want to opt out and so forth.
So for kind of a devil's advocate perspective, I'm sure, you know, as librarians, we can all think of examples of, you know, the kind of takeovers that you mentioned, you know, corporate publishing entities taking over things that were formerly open. And the publisher's perspective, I'm sure their perspective as well, making it a commercial product makes it more sustainable. So what's the counter to that? Like, why we need to, why is it a problem if a library gets locked in to that commercial solution?
Well, I think we should have learned from our previous, dealing with the big publisher in terms of locked in with the big deal subscription packages. And I think where we find challenging with these kind of model of sort of take it or leave it big deal is that you don't have a lot of flexibility in your choices of your what you want to purchase and what you want to invest in. And I think the similar things is happening with these infrastructure increasingly is that they are finding way for you. Once you get in, you'll kind of have to take it, the whole package kind of things. And that's my concern, that you're going to be locked into their services. And because their services are also built on top of the publications, they have even the added power of controlling that kind of incentive system. That you want to continue to use their services in order to maximize the kind of metrics that they're able to generate based on those infrastructures that they control and own to a large extent. Right? So they have a clever business model because these systems allow them to find out more and more about what we're publishing, what we're interested in publishing, what our fundings are coming from, and they're able to generate more and more metrics about these things, which our universities are actually eager to buy back. And so they're actually supplying both the publishing and the data about our activities back to the university. And so these kind of services, again, depending on your perspective, some institution might like it because it allows them to outcompete others. But for most institution, they cannot afford these type of services, and they might end up falling behind in terms of these kind of ranking system that are being increasingly important as a global metric system.
And I imagine as you know, individual academic users aren't too thrilled about what happens to their data being sold back and forth either.
Well, yeah. I think this is where we often create more awareness about how our data is being used. And I think by and large, most academics are not aware of how the data are being sold back and forth and turned into new products and being made and being financialized in ways that they are not aware of or haven't given consent to. So that's the other big issues that I think we need to bring awareness to. And this is where the open system should be different, where the governance of these data, the development of these tools should be driven by the community, and the community should have a say as to how their data should be used and who have the right to use them and so forth. So this is the big difference between an open system and a proprietary one.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll talk more with Dr. Leslie Chan about how the community can own the tools of scholarship on the left side of the hour.
Hi, I'm Ashley Maynard, and I'm the librarian by day and filmmaker by night. And you're listening to Lost in the Stacks, WREK Atlanta.
Today's Lost in the Stacks is called Invest in Open. Now, as we all know, when reading content on the internet, one should never, ever read the comments. It's a really good rule. But listener, we broke that rule. On a popular online scholarly blog, which will remain unnamed, there was a comment thread discussing the merits of the Invest in Open Infrastructure organization. Dan Whaley, another member of the initiative's steering committee, received the following comment, intended, we believe, to cast a bit of doubt on the prospects of said organization's success. The comment read, "If people say that something has value, why will they not support it? In the absence of support, everything is empty talk." To which Dan responded, "Exactly. This quote should be on our Invest in Open letterhead." Good judo, Dan. Nicely done. But seriously, reading internet comments is almost always the worst idea and should be discouraged. File this set under... Fred, don't open those comments. What do you... Oh. BS580.D3F... What did they say? 68.
Dead. That was Problem by the Brazilian Girls, and before that, Why Couldn't You See This Coming by Tree Fort Angst. Songs about getting active in order to resist entrenched power and solve big problems.
Prepare to fight.
Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks, and we're talking about breaking the traditional scholarly publishing mold and investing in open access. Our guest is Leslie Chan, is an open access advocate and a steering committee member on the Invest in Open Infrastructure initiative. So in the last segment, we talked about sustainability and how openness relates to sustainability. And I've got a kind of a half serious, half joking question. You know, as librarians, you know, we all get frustrated with the commercial paywalls behind which scholarship, you know, resides and the process of scholarship. So since we're all so frustrated by that, why can't we just agree to do it openly? What's stopping us? Can't we all just get along? I know that's kind of a jokey question, but there's a kind of a serious intent behind it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the obvious answer, right? I mean, for years we've been saying the big piece that's been missing from all this is this so-called collective action, right? I mean, much of what we've been talking about in terms of what's sensible solution, they've been out there for a while. And the question is, why can't we act together and make this happen? And so the Invest in Open is really one way to say, well, can we really do this now? And we do need the money. We do need different expertise. So a big piece of this, and one of the group that is behind the Invest in Open is the group that led by David Lewis, who initiated this concept of the 2.5% solution from the library side. And his idea is that if some of the major research library were to set aside 2.5% of their acquisition budget to support open initiatives like the kind of one we talked at, we will have a little nice initial pot of money to think about what to invest in. And then once those monies are in place, we can also further solicit other sources of funding from donors, from university funders, from public funders. Create a nice endowment so that we could, again, work collectively to build the kind of infrastructures or to coalesce the kind of networks that are out there that align with our scholarly values.
So I want to go.
So, yeah, it is. Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to ask about David Lewis's proposal that's been out there in some other library literature, the 2.5% proposal. So that's taking 2.5% of a total library's budget and dedicating that to openness, basically. And so what changes if everyone did that? What changes would you see first?
Well, so I think it's an incremental process. So let me correct that. The 2.5% is not the total library budget. Is it? My understanding is the acquisition budget.
Acquisition budget. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And so, and the idea is that we can begin to build some sustainability into some of the existing infrastructure projects that are currently struggling on their own or they're fragmented. And so find some ways to build some baseline model of longer-term stability for these initiatives. So then there will be other sources of funding and other other kind of tools and infrastructure that could be add on to this growing base over time. So the idea is to do this in incremental ways, not overnight. And so hopefully what we will see is that we will find different communities of scholars having the options to use tools that are open instead of having right now very limited options in the current landscape. They can go to the commercial ones or they don't have anything.
So what is going to be the outcome, the desired outcome, I should say, of the Invest in Open Infrastructure initiative? And I guess I'm thinking in terms of deliverables or achieved goals. Is there going to be a policy document that's officially rolled out, or just getting libraries to agree to certain principles? Is that the main goal, or what's the main endpoint?
Well, I think right now we have a set of principles, and if you go to the Invest in Open website, you will see the set of principles that we're trying to set out. And but at this point, it's also a fairly broad vision, some of which I have outlined, a vision that is we would like to see infrastructures that are designed and controlled by the scholarly communities based on their own needs, and have an open governance system that could determine their future development. So again, it's really about who has the control and who have the ability to make decisions about the infrastructures that we'd like to see going forward. Because as I said, right now, the tools that are available to us through the commercial offerings are tools that are designed by them for a very different reason, to allow them to, again, lock us into their particular workflow, their particular value chains that are not necessarily those as the same value proposition that scholar wants in different communities. So that's really what we're trying to hope that we'll achieve in the longer term. But again, as I said, it will be incremental. It will take time, but it will definitely take commitment from many different constituents, library being an important part of that.
You know, the last time you were on the show, we talked about how from the very beginning of the open access movement, you know, even back in the days of the original Berlin Open Access Declaration, there were different definitions and concepts of open access. Are there prevailing differences in what it means to invest in open infrastructure, I guess, depending on your point of view, either from, I don't know, people on the steering committee or other stakeholders or whomever?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think this is the nature of, I guess, most of these grassroots type of initiative. Within the committee itself, there are many different perspectives and voices. So I must also, emphasize that what I've been talking a lot about doesn't necessarily represent the entire committee's perspective. We all have slightly different ways.
Oh, sure. Yes. I understand. You're speaking for yourself, right?
Yeah. And so, so this initiative is still very, very early stage. And so we are continuing this kind of conversation, both within the committee, but also publicly. And we want to engage with more different stakeholders about their perspective and their input. And ultimately, it's really to get more input from people who wants to take part in having a say about the kind of future of scholarly communication they like to see as well. So I'm thankful for an opportunity like that to draw attention to the initiative and to invite the listeners to contribute their ideas and through the Invest in Open Structure website to let us know.
Dr. Chan, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Well, thanks for having me again, and I enjoyed chatting with you again.
We've been speaking today with Dr. Leslie Chan. He is Associate Professor in the Department of Arts, Culture, and Media and the Center for Critical Development Studies at the University of Toronto Scarborough, where he serves as the Associate Director. He's also a member of the Steering Committee of the Invest in Open Infrastructure Initiative and a longtime advocate of open access. We'll be back after another music set.
File this next set under Z278.T69.
That was Tanuki-chan with This Time. Before that, Too Much Information by The Police. Songs about evaluating your information and making the right choice. Today's show is called Invest in Open. What does it mean to invest in an open infrastructure of scholarly information? Lots of pondering here. It means collaboration,
diversity,
strategic thinking,
integrated interests and efforts,
sticking to open principles.
And let's be honest, a lot of committee meetings.
Oh, man.
It is academia, after all.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. Well, with that, let's just roll those credits.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Produced by Charlie Bennett, Amit Doshi, Wendy Hagenmeyer, and Fred Rasko.
Matthew was our engineer today, and the show was brought to you in part by the Library Collective and their social and professional network, League of Awesome Librarians. Find out more about them at thelibrarycollective.org.
Legal counsel and vintage neon open signs were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Leslie for being on the show, to libraries investing in open and accessible infrastructure, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast pretty much anywhere you get your audio fix.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, what happens when individuals want to delete themselves from social media? Wait, delete themselves from social media? Can we do that?
That's a dangerous question.
I'm out. I'm going. I got to go do something right now.
It's time for our last song today. Libraries and archives aren't just interested in making information free, although that's important. Opening the infrastructure underlying the information is just as important. When libraries can own the process from start to finish, that's when we'll know what it is to be free. So let's close with To Be Free by the Straubs right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everyone.